Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people late reading. This week was our theater pick, so we picked the movie with Matthew McConaughey called Interstellar. And we bring you movie news. It's in the program. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens,
Hello.
Ryan Preston.
You're the old guys here.
So who has the description of this movie?
I thought you were doing it.
Yeah, why not?
Right?
A team of explorers travel through a wormhole in an attempt to find potentially habitable planets that will sustain humanity.
You know what I thought was actually funny? Now, when you first get introduced to this world, you start to learn that, you know, Dust Bowls, and they start having the old people discussing. It kind of reminded me of the Ken Burns documentary about the Dust Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I actually really liked those parts.
I did too, but, you know, if I really put this into a condensed thing, this is the same damn plot that we're doing in Firefly.
Yeah.
The Earth was used up, and they started terraforming other planets.
Well, that's been used. I mean, that's a very old shtick.
Yeah.
I know, but I thought it was interesting
that
it's the same kind of thing we're doing in Firefly.
Well, I mean, that was a MacGuffin just to start the story. The one thing I have to admit I was impressed with was I loved On Earth.
You were
Earth.
Impressed with something?
Well, yeah, the movie, I love the color choice in the beginning because everything was really bright.
Well, it's in film.
On the outside, everything was extremely bright. It seemed like on the inside, everything was fairly dim. I really liked that contrast.
Yeah. The lighting in it was pretty nutty. I really liked the beginning. Just kind of, it didn't do that usual blockbuster movie thing of we're just going to over-explain everything. It's the year 2614, and this happened, and this happened, and that's why everything's like this.
Yeah.
Kind of just dumped into it.
Yeah.
And to kind of like sort of just discover things like, okay, well, there's robots, and then there's things, and then there's this anomaly. You're just trying to piece it together.
Yeah, did they ever explain that this was actually supposed to be 50 years in the future? Cause I don't remember that.
No.
I actually had to find that one on my own.
I have to admit,
I was surprised how 2001 Space Odyssey, this whole thing felt.
Okay, so I was actually...
The quietness and the symphonic type of music.
Oh, no, it gets really? Very 2001, especially at the ending when he's practically a space baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it, Ryan, I'm actually surprised there was no narrator doing the whole, it is the year 2050, and the Earth is in ruins. You know, it's, you're right, I didn't think
about
that.
Well, I enjoyed that, too. I agree with Ryan. I was actually enjoying that part.
Well, I completely agree. It was actually kind of nice not to have everything dumped on your lap and then just have a two-hour movie that trying to explain something they explained the 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah. So what my opinion was is this was two movies tied together because there was two distinct separate parts.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree. There's like two acts.
Yeah,
I'd
two say, separate movies.
I'd say three.
Okay, I don't care. Say five. Trying to be serious here.
No, I am. I'd actually think there was three because, you know, like, continue. I'll explain after.
It's not worth it. This movie.
Fine. I was going to say because there's the Earth part, there's the space part, and then there's the part when everything goes wrong.
I wouldn't say necessarily there was anything that goes wrong, but I see what Rob's saying. Like, you could have broken this up in two parts. You could have had the beginning part where he gets launched, you know, he gets ready, they do a little, they didn't do any refresher course training with him with NASA, by the way, people.
Skip forward a little bit, but I was jarred by that too. Like,
yeah.
You're just gonna let fly us.
Oh, you're the best pilot we've ever had, so we want you to fly again. Here's the seat, take off.
Not to mention, I hasn't flown in a long time.
And I kind of try to do the same thing of like, all right, I'll give them a little grace. Maybe they just skip that section. But that's what I'm saying is Rob is kind of right, where you could have that portion where he had the training, extend the movie by another hour, jerks. Mm-hmm. and shoot him off to the space and then do a Interstellar 2 in space type thing. That's kind of where he's...
I think they could have done much better with the plot myself.
See, I don't think if they did an Interstellar 2, it would have worked because it'll be like Kill Bill 2 and nobody really wanted to see it.
I wanted to see Kill Bill 2.
Well, yeah, but now, when's the last time you wanted... Like, you've never actually gone, I want to watch Kill Bill 2!
That's because he hasn't released the whole bloody affair.
But I see, I think...
Sorry,
I think
Ryan, I just talked right over you, what you were saying.
What'd you say, Ryan?
I do that all the time and watch Kill Bill 2 just on its own. I love that movie. was awesome.
Well, I don't think this movie would have sold as well as two parts. I kind of see why he made it one long movie.
But you mean
you have to, but it's almost 3 hours long. It's what, 2:45?
Yeah.
That was almost 3 hours that I didn't realize went by.
Oh,
I mean, did anybody really feel like it was long, or did you just kind of go on this?
No.
You got three hands.
Yeah.
But I felt like, okay, that's 2 hours, 45 minutes that
I'll never get back.
I'd poke me and be like, hey, look at the watch. I was on the ride the whole time. I didn't feel like the plot was, I mean, aside from some of the science jargon that got a little sci-fi.
You're just loving Nolan.
You know, I like Nolan too, but I was actually disappointed with this one.
There were bits and pieces I really liked. I liked the scene with
the problem.
I like the scene
bits and pieces.
Well, but there were actually good bits and pieces though. The scene in the school when his daughter was in trouble. You know, they said they were. The scene was his daughter was in trouble reading from an old textbook, and the teacher said about how nobody landed on the moon. He's like, seriously?
All the revisionist history, all wrapped up.
There were some pretty good bits and jabs throughout the whole movie.
So that's the problem. There were just bits and jabs. Unlike Ryan, I felt the other way. I felt every bit of it's almost 3 hours.
Really?
Oh, I did. It was to me. And I think the problem is that being a real fan of sci-fi. I mean, I love sci-fi, and I'll put just about anything that says sci-fi on. But this movie...
Apparently not this one.
I mean, there were so many things that just didn't jive for me.
Well, let me put it a different way. My problem with this wasn't necessarily the story. I didn't have an issue with the story. I didn't really have an issue with the acting. The acting was okay. I think there was too much lag in between. Hmm. And they didn't really explain why there was so much lag in between. Like, there were sections where it's just kind of like, oh, we're going to be doing this.
I think that was the 2001 kind of...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. And my issue with that is, did you feel they went too realistic? That's where I come down to it.
I don't think they went too realistic. I'll be honest. I don't know why. Because I liked everything up to the point when they landed on the first planet. Everything after that, to me, was very boring, drawn out. I just didn't, and Matthew McConaughey's acting, no offense to him, but there were some, his emotional scenes were like, really?
Yeah, he's getting all these accolades from people telling what a great actor he was in this movie, and I got to be honest with me, he was just...
I think he did okay. I don't think he did great.
He wasn't anything different than anything else.
But he's the sex symbol of that era.
Yeah, whatever.
And that's really what it is.
Yeah,
year 2050.
He did fine.
I think he did okay. I wouldn't say he did stellar.
Better than okay. I
think he did okay.
I don't think he stepped out of himself. I don't think he really
I think
became...
Matt Damon did a better job than him.
Oh, Matt Damon did a far better job. But again, there's a scene that could have just been left out.
Yeah.
Or something out because it was so short anyway.
And it really did nothing to the plot.
No.
Matt Damon, except
that you could go crazy.
Yeah, he was Dr. Man. He was the crazy guy who tried to kill him.
No wonder. I'll be honest.
You didn't even know that was Matt Damon?
No, I was like, I kept saying, that guy looks familiar.
He looks familiar. I'm looking at your guy. I don't know who it is.
But Ryan.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, that Matt Damon character. I think I've seen him someplace.
Yeah. Hey, I was looking at Anne Hathaway the whole time.
And that's true.
Oh, she wasn't even in that scene.
Well, I meant in the movie. It's like, give me more Anne Hathaway. I do love the sets, the props, and everything about this movie. I love the robot design, actually. It was kind of like the new version of Robbie the Robot.
Now, that was probably the best prop in the whole movie.
I agree.
The way they designed those robots, the lock and move.
I loved how he was talking shit to the robot when he first got caught. It's like, I'll turn you into a flashlight or something.
No, I like it when he was sitting there and he's repairing him, and he's like, okay, wait, too far. Let me bring you back now. Which, Ryan, I'm sorry. It's a spoiler. The thing about me to space travel, this is like being trapped on a submarine, but worse. And the only good thing you get out of it is just better views. Because you can't go outside. You're stuck in a little box. That's really it.
Yeah.
They made a point to even bring that up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The guys, and like, it's just this aluminum, you know, and some mylar, some shit.
Yeah.
Separating us from nothing for millions of miles.
And you're dead.
Right.
If you go outside. Well, do not pass go. You're dead.
I actually liked that scene because I thought it really helped to meet everybody to kind of tie those two characters together because you saw him hand a recording of like lightning, thunder, and all that.
Okay, yeah.
You know what?
I really liked that scene.
There was, and I can't remember right now which character it was, but there's the scene where they get the guy out of cryogenics.
Oh,
right.
That was Matt Damon.
No, that would be Matt Damon.
Yeah, that was Matt Damon.
Okay, so he's coming out of cryogenics, right? And you're like wrapped in a plastic bag, yeah. Right? Well, instead of just putting a zipper, they were ripping this bag over. And I'm looking at him going, you can't just put a zipper on.
Well, the thing that I kind of got out of that is when you're in that little seal, a zipper wouldn't really protect you that much, so they probably did a vacuum seal.
Yeah, there you
thing.
Go.
That's the only thing I think
vacuum
of.
Press. What were you saying, Ryan, before you got cut off?
No, that was exactly what I was going to say. It was a vacuum seal that was made by the FedEx people that you tear.
That's right.
I'm surprised they didn't have to burp you, right? You know, after they put you to bed.
But I think the sets were really cool. I thought that even some of the interactions with the world, like the first world they landed on.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're just walking out. And I'm trying to talk to my wife, and I'm like, why are they stepping out in the middle of the ocean and there's only like barely a little bit of water? What the heck is going on? Then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, crap. That world's done. You're not going to live there. She's like, well, what? Why? We don't live out in the middle of the ocean. There can't be things like that. I told her, you know, the plates. The plates of the Earth that they're going on are not stable. Can you imagine the earthquakes that would be causing tsunamis? Tsunamis. Sorry.
I really disliked.
I did it like a Japanese person.
Ah, okay.
Racist. I really disliked the whole time dilation thing on that though. When it got up and said how long had passed.
23 years, 2 months.
Yeah, they were
23 years, 4 months, and like 2 days or some random crap like that.
Yeah, that part, I mean, I understand why, but it was just kind of like, it was just so, it felt so heavy during that scene. It just weighed it down.
I agree with you. I think that scene had a valid point for being in the movie, but I think they took it too far, is where I feel on that one.
I'm wondering, I kept thinking that when I talked about the movie being two parts, I really saw it, and I was thinking to myself, you know, you could have developed two really good movies, but and instead of having 2 year release dates, you could have done, you know, these two movies together in the same time, but release them a year apart or something
or
like that.
Or 3 months apart.
Or 3 months apart or a week apart. I don't care. But I think they could have taken the plots on the two parts much further. And it just didn't feel developed enough to me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think they rushed it. I think they really rushed certain sections of this movie, and then they lagged in other sections where they shouldn't have.
Yeah, and Jonathan had a point too about feeling almost too real. In some respects, you know, we're talking sci-fi here, and I like my shoot 'em up, blast 'em, you know, Star Wars.
That's a good movie, by the way. Shoot 'em up.
Shoot 'em up. You know, I like that kind of stuff that'll never happen sci-fi. You know, I really enjoy that stuff. But, you know, Jonathan had a point. And in some respect, it was too real. And labeling it sci-fi, I don't know if that's actually a true label.
Rob,
well, I think
at what's happened the last few. First of all, I disagree with practically everything you guys are talking about the last 5 minutes.
All right.
That's cute.
In terms of sci-fi, look. What's happened the last few years where somebody comes out with a sci-fi and everybody's like, yeah, it's bullshit. Right. That couldn't happen.
Yeah.
You can't make a sci-fi movie nowadays unless it could be, you know, hypothesized it could be true. You know what I'm saying? In some form or another. I mean, obviously this movie took a couple of liberties, maybe with the singularities and black holes, etc. But aside from that, you almost have to make it like hyper realistic, and I understand your point about it dragging down a little bit when it sort of started with like the day in the life of an astronaut, boring ass shit. But
button push.
I don't think it's too much from the plot line. The first act was so bloody good that it had me well into the past the halfway point, and then Matt Damon comes in and kind of, you know, explains like, oh, no, this was all bullshit to begin with. We're just kind of going off plan B. Plan B was plan A, et cetera. And then the whole thing with the daughter. And I mean, it started to pick up pace towards the end when all these things started to come together.
Well, you know, I'll agree with that.
I will say, unlike my dad, you know, I'll totally call this sci-fi. Part of it for me is it's not the type of sci-fi that I'll be honest, that I really like. I've always kind of liked the sci-fi that I had to suspend my disbelief a little bit more. You know, but I also like the movie Gravity, which, you know, so there are definitely parts of this movie I really, really liked. I loved the spaceship aspect of it. I even liked that twist where you mentioned where plan A and plan B, I actually thought that was fairly well thought out, kind of predictable a little bit, especially when he'd said, oh, I've been working on it, you know, my whole life, and, you know, a few other things. I liked it. I kind of wish, now that you're thinking about it, I wish they did a second movie so they could have kind of hashed out what happened to Anne Hathaway's character, because she was really just a throwaway, unimportant character.
See what I'm saying? 3 hours wasn't even enough for this guy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm not disagreeing with you guys on this. I agree with Rob that it should have been two well-developed movies, possibly three. They could have actually developed things better. Because, I mean, the whole thing of plan A, plan B, that was so foretold.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they start talking about black holes and time bending in certain areas and that relative... you're not even there yet.
A lot more potential.
That time was bent differently, all relative, and the theory of relativity. I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah, as soon as he gets in the black hole, I'm like, really? He's a little pervert that was messing with his daughter? And yeah, I was right. I mean, could you imagine... Okay, he's the little pervert that was messing with his little daughter, spying on her through time. Did you not catch that at the end of the movie?
Yes,
it's
calling him a pervert when he was trying to, you know.
Could you imagine if he accidentally, because he didn't know exactly which one he was going to go into. And the two different things is that the time span of how long that took in his life was only a matter of moments, and the time span in her life was practically her entire life. So that's the interesting part, that they really could have developed that.
Look, this is all science that doesn't actually exist. But, do you want them to develop it when it's just going to be all BS in the first place?
Science fiction. So this movie goes science fiction.
Remember Looper?
Yeah, that's what I thought about with this film.
Looper was brilliant because it takes this time travel thing and it doesn't try to explain it away with some bullshit science where people are going to just pick it apart and call it nonsense.
Well, Neil deGrasse didn't do too bad on it.
He basically said, like, look, if I explain time travel, I'm sitting here drawing graphs and diagrams and we're just not going to get into it. That's what this movie was like. It just wasn't going to get into all of the nonsense where you're going to get to pick it apart.
Don't get me wrong. I thought parts of the time dilation were weighed heavy on the movie a lot of times, but I don't think you could have done any more or added any more. I mean, this was perfect to explain the basic of the time dilation was to explain how you saved humanity.
At least they didn't
turn
it into an event horizon, because then
might have been a little bit of a better movie.
They touched on there. they did.
But come on.
What'd you say, Ryan?
I said they got close to Event Horizon.
They did.
At spots.
That's what I'm saying. They did. And, you know, the thing I want to bring it back to is, no, I did not enjoy this movie as much as people do. Sorry.
Yeah, that's
all right. But I didn't dislike it that much. I just think they didn't do as much as they could have. I think they dropped the ball here. I really do. They had so much, and they tried to compact it, and they pushed it as much as they could. 2 hours and 45 minutes is as much as they can with a movie these days. Nobody's going to sit through a 3.5-hour film.
I would, depending on the movie, but I'm not an
average depending
person.
On the movie. They would not have made, let me pull it up, I think it's $145 million on the opening weekend, or $154 million.
For Christ's sake, Titanic was a 3-hour movie, and that was just about a boat sinking. I'm much more interested in this 3-hour movie.
I agree.
I actually 100% agree with Ryan.
I agree with Ryan on that
one. Make this a 4-hour movie.
But
everyone might hate me, though.
I think they could have done really well if they had broken up into parts. Why aren't they doing that anymore is really what I want to come back to. They did it with Star Wars. Shut your mouth. They did it with Star Wars.
The Star Wars was an epic. It had 100.
They could turn this into an epic.
See, I actually disagree.
This isn't an epic. This is one guy's fucking story.
I don't. I see. I 100% agree with Ryan. This would not have made.
He's 124 years old.
See, the problem I have. See, the problem, James.
Okay, it's one guy's really long story.
See, the problem is this would have. This could have never been an epic. Not only would it not start like an epic, it didn't end like an epic. I think that, you know, thinking about it...
Wait,
I think
you mean him running away to try to find Anne Hathaway on some island? Or some planet?
If they made a second movie, that's what the whole thing would have been about, is him trying to find what godforsaken planet he left her on and, you know, in the Delta Quadrant or
and
something.
And they can start turning it into, like, he runs into different worlds. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He start running into different things. They don't know what's out there.
So, I really think that's what the movie lacks from. They could have done more.
So, Ryan, what do you give this movie?
I give it a 4. I can't say they could have done more, because I don't know what the hell more they really could have done. They went above and beyond.
Finish the movie, then talk about it.
They went above and beyond with the special effects and the practical sets. The use of all the practical effects were incredible. The acting was above par. I mean, it dragged a couple of times and there was a little overuse of the score. But other than that, I mean, it was more than I was expecting.
The only part that really bugged me is the whole time I'm thinking, oh, this is the new age 2001, because there was like, okay, that's similar. And towards the end, I'm like, hey, it's a space baby. My girlfriend said, what? It's like, never mind. Because it took me forever to figure that part out in that movie.
Oh, the space baby would have been the greatest thing in cinema.
So, I give this movie a 3 out of 5. It's not my particular favorite sci-fi, the genre in sci-fi, but... You know, it was enjoyable, and at some point I want to watch it again. So Mr. Button Pusher, what do you give it?
Well,
remember, no zeros.
For me, it's a 2, and that's what I love. Yeah, I know. Isn't this great? This is what we need to have almost every time we do this show, because we all agree the same. It's so damn boring. This movie sucked. I'll get my 3 hours back. I mean, the acting was just so-so. The only thing that I'm going to give credit for is its soundtrack. I think it did have a pretty good soundtrack, but that's it for me. I think the Nolans could have done more, make this 2 movies, gotten us more involved. It would have been a lot better.
The search for more money.
You are so bitter.
Well, he is not. He's not called the old guy for nothing. James,
you know, I. You know, I really can't say. Like, this is actually. I will actually be. I actually have to say this. I am disappointed that Ryan and Rob have not come up with points yet.
Yeah, I know.
Because.
But unlike some, you know, Ryan and Rob have a life.
We got so many arguments on this. I don't think it deserves a 3, and I don't think it deserves a 2.
There you go, our first 2.5.
This is the first time I've felt like this.
Nope. See?
No, there's no points.
I told you it was coming.
I know. So what do you give by default, because you guys didn't do it, it's a 2.
Okay.
There you go. I agree with Rob. The acting wasn't up to the standard that it should have been. did you just throw your little...
He just got...
And
that was a mic
honestly
drop.
They didn't develop the story enough. They really didn't to me. Okay, it just felt so lacking.
So now
I like the way they didn't. I mean, they didn't develop the story.
I'm not talking about the stupid gravity and the time dilations
either. I'm talking about all the other things.
Best actor in the whole movie was John Lithgow.
As the person in charge of the clock, I'm going to have to say we're going to have to close this section.
This one's going
to be Real Flix Reviews. If we ever have an after show or if anybody ever
watches our shows
or a Real Flix Reviews flashback episode, we're definitely going to end up more discussion. So James is going to talk about this week's Firefly.
All right. So this week's Firefly was Ariel or something.
Ariel.
Anyway, Okay. So this one I really liked it because they did the backstory on the previous episode.
Yeah.
Of how he got Jane. And how he kind of is talking to Jane and finds out through Jane holding a gun on him that he's a greedy bastard. And gets him on his side. So then they go into here and Jane betrays him. Which comes up to one of my favorite lines in this series, which this is probably my second favorite one. Right after, if somebody tries to kill you, you kill him right back. Next time you decide to stab me in the back, have the guts to do it to my face.
That's right.
I love that line. But this film, I think this one is really another Jane film. Or Jane
episode.
Jane episode. Mm-hmm. I really do. I never really liked the fact that they were getting into drugs, but, you know, whatever. They got to make their money.
Good amount of money, yeah. Well, yeah, I actually liked this episode. I thought it was done very well. I was very disappointed in Jane again, and you know, I kind of thought that Maul and his crew were all together and all for one and one for all type of thing. And you find out you can't turn your back on Jane.
Yeah,
you know, well, you can't count on him.
Jane's one of those characters where you can't always trust him, but you can always trust Jane to be Jane. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
true.
Right. You know what he's like, and you know his sort of parameters, and Mal knows it. The other people might not so much, specifically the doctor, who's, you know, he's going to get into that later, I think.
Yeah,
we're going to get into that stuff later. Yeah, so
we're gonna switch off. Hold on, just going to let everybody know that we do have a Facebook page. Please tell us if you like us, do you hate money. Us. Is there a movie or a theme you'd like us to do? Hey, or if you're willing to give us movie, buy us movie tickets, passes, and continue Old Guy Tech TV's
money.
Promise of excellent programming.
Our promise of excellence. I like that. I didn't know we had one.
It's a
John, did you flip like a Frankenstein switch to get that icon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, how do you guys feel about Bond 24 with Christoph Waltz.
Waltz. I'm excited.
That should be interesting.
I'm excited for it. Daniel Craig's still pinning in it. And also in Bond 25, which is another one that's supposed to be coming out. And did any of you guys, I watched it with Rob, but have any of you guys seen the trailer for the new Jurassic Park?
No, World? I want to. I haven't had a chance.
We just kind of caught it right before the show.
It's such a tease. Man. It really is. 5 seconds?
But isn't it exciting?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is exciting.
It looks cool.
And I was looking it up. I'm sorry?
This is a testament to exactly how good that first movie was. Because even after the second one and the third one, one of the few movies I walked out of the theater on was terrible.
Right.
I still cannot wait to see more dinosaurs on the screen.
I know.
Jurassic Park 3 is kind of like RoboCop 3. Nobody admits to watching it, but everybody's seen it at least once.
Or Dolph Lundgren's Punisher.
Right.
I love that one.
And Jurassic World, charged. Just so people know what it's about, this is supposed to be 22 years after all the shenanigans happened at the park. And
it's
so,
up on that.
I'm sorry?
I think it's coming up on 22 years.
Isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. I think it is pretty close to that now.
That's right, yeah.
So it's in real time.
Almost. Yeah, so this is... I'm excited for it. Yeah. I really am.
What was our bummer, though? Our bummer was it's not coming out until June 2015.
June 12, 2015 is how far away this movie is. It's like, really? It's not even rated.
I tried to give a guess. Oh, maybe we'll see it in January. Got all excited. It's fucking June.
Was the movie made in 93?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would make it 22 years.
I'll be completely honest. I'm more excited for Jurassic Park 3 than Avengers 2. I'm way excited about Jurassic Park.
This would be Jurassic Park 4, but I think it's
20. Yeah. And I'm actually cruising through the cast, and I was actually... Anyways, I was just cruising through the cast, some random pictures of people, and I don't see Sam Neill. That's the one thing that I've been wanting to know if he was in here, and I haven't heard anything.
I wonder how his health is.
He's been doing Peaky Blinders.
Jeff Goldblum. Yeah.
What about Goldblum?
Yeah.
I don't see him either.
I love Jeff Goldblum. I'm a fan of his, so.
I'm just cruising through hoping that I'll find somebody like at the bottom as himself or, you know, just as some little kind of cameo type thing, but I don't see anything on them.
Well, but just a disappointment. In production. It, So we should get more information. We'll keep our eye on it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, because, I mean, they still have almost a year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, oh, man, look at what they did with just the most recent Godzilla. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, I can't wait to see what the new dinosaurs are going to be doing. That's going to be pretty dope.
Yeah, and then also the other one that I was going to be bringing up is, I didn't see it. I'm seeing if any of you guys had. Have you seen the Star Wars teaser?
No, I refuse to watch anything regarding
the plot. I did read allegedly what's going to happen at the end of the new Star Wars movie. But
wow, so let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm already going to say it, so it's you better cover your ears.
Don't say it.
The problem is, until it's in the theaters, you don't know which way.
Well, yeah, the rumor is that. the rumor is right now that Luke Skywalker is going to kill Han Solo.
Okay.
You mean a split personality?
Oh.
That's the rumor.
There you go.
Anyways,
you suck.
Our funner friend's back. He says, "Quit yawning."
Yes, Quinn. Thank you. I was going to say the same thing. He's got to quit yawning.
Anyway, so that's really what I was kind of doing, and I'm kind of on the fence with Ryan on this one. Is I'll look at the Jurassic Park ones just because I like to see dinosaurs on screen.
Yeah,
and to make sure that they're doing a great job. But the Star Wars one, I don't think I want to do that.
You know, I'll watch trailers for everything, so I'm going to watch it no matter what.
Well, I mean, on episode 2, I watched the Yoda battle scene like 15 times before I saw it on the big screen just because I thought it was really cool. But it ruined it.
No, that was really the only good part of the entire movie.
Well, I'm saying it ruined it when that scene came up. I'm just like, yeah, Yoda!
Then you finally got to see Yoda fight.
Yeah, so it's gonna switch off next week. We're gonna go into Robin Williams in memoriam or whatever we're calling it.
Yes, we're going back to that.
So we're doing Robin Williams comedy. So I decided to pick a semi-modern Robin Williams classic, Robots 2005, which is get to hear his great voice talent, tremendous just voice talent.
Probably you didn't want to do Bicentennial Man.
As a comedy?
Yeah, that's a funny movie.
I think that's more of a drama than a comedy. I'm sorry. I don't think it's that funny.
Yeah, and I think he was being a smartass.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, Robots, talk about. Robots 2005. It has a great cast. Ian McGregor, Holly Berry, Mel Brooks, Robin Williams, Paul Abdul. It's a pretty good cast, so you have to see it.
All right, so Robots, and we're doing episode 10, War Stories of Firefly.
And just a reminder, when we do the end of Firefly, what we're going to do is we're going to watch the Firefly movie. And Serenity. Then we're going to do kind of the wrap-up episode, kind of discuss what we thought about the entire series. And so I gave the movie Interstellar a 3 out of 5. James gave it a much-beloved 2 out of 5. Ryan gave it a great 4 out of 5. Rob gave it a 2 out of 5.
I want to give it a 2.5. I would have given it that half a point.
We're waiting
for Matt Damon.
As soon as Ryan and Rob do their homework and actually figure out the rating system, reworking it a little, next week is Robots 2005, continuing on with our Robin Williams month into December. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Thank you.